Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. I want to remind you of the call-in number. It's 323-203-0815. And that's how you get live on the air with us to talk with Dr. Allen. So, with that being said, I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here and for LA Talk Radio being so supportive and playing us multiple times and multiple channels. You can always go to LA Talk Radio and find all of our archives. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
You're live on the air.
Good. I plan to serve on the air too.
Awesome. So I believe we have some calls, and I'm going to ask our wonderful Ronan at the switchboard to rock and roll. Oh, he already did it. He's on the ball always. Caller, you are live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I had a question for Dr. Allen about the 8-week rule, like the no contact rule.
Yes.
My boyfriend and I, we've been together for 9 years, and we recently broke up. I wanted to I wanted to renegotiate like a deeper commitment in our relationship.
Okay.
And he said he didn't, you know, want that the relationship was perfect for him the way it was. So he wanted to stay friends, and I told him that I didn't want to stay friends. I didn't really say I didn't want to stay friends, but I just said that I didn't think we should keep communicating if we can't negotiate a better relationship. So
that's right.
It's been 3 weeks since we spoke, and he texted me today and asked me if I was feeling sex deprived. And so I haven't responded to him. So I'm just kind of wondering if I should just ignore him and just keep rolling on in silence, or if I should say something back to him.
I believe that it's in your best interest to respond to everything he calls unless you're done with him. Are you done with this man?
I guess if he wanted to negotiate, you know, if he wanted to give me what I wanted, like, I'd be happy to take him back.
All right, then I suggest that you answer every call, text, everything, and act like a courteous lady.
Okay.
The 2 weeks is my observation from 50 years of doing this business that people, I hear doctors say 2 weeks, people need to ruminate. That's think, feel about major decisions. And so I built it into the system, my system, androgynous semantic realignment. I built it into my system that if you dumped him or he dumped you, or you set a separation between you, that 8 weeks was enough time for the person to think and feel what they want to do. Now, he reached out to you. You told him you didn't want to date him unless you negotiated, denied him. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And so that's the boundary. And he's reaching out, and he said, can't we be friends? Here's what I say about that. Lovers can't be friends till they're lovers with new people. So
right.
You're still in love with each other. I hear that. but you've got some things to negotiate.
Yeah,
and you're
so
not
what,
going to, what?
Oh, I'm wondering, I guess, what's the best way to respond then? Because he's not asking, he's not saying he wants to negotiate. He's just asking about my feelings about sex.
Then ask him, tell him what you feel. You dated him how many years?
We've been together for 9 years.
And how old are you?
I am 42.
And how old is he?
44.
44?
Yeah.
Are you monogamous sexually and socially?
I would say we were sexually monogamous. I'm socially monogamous. I feel like we present ourselves more as like single people in the world.
Okay,
but we're not dating other people or sleeping with other people.
Okay, you're not. Are you compatible? Do you both have the same goal of mating or marriage?
See, I don't think we're compatible. I think that's why the relationship is kind of breaking down.
What is not compatible?
Well, he wants to, like, we've just been dating, like, we see each other once a week, and I want more than once a week.
Do you want to get legally married, or are you satisfied with simply mating, monogamous, continuous, long-term mating? What is your goal for the relationship?
Well, I guess I haven't fully clarified that. I think I know when we first got, when I was younger, I wanted to get married. Now that I'm a little bit older, I don't know. Maybe me still wants to be married, but I'm just not probably 100% sure.
Then what you're doing with him is you're asking for a pre-engagement session with him in which you, have you read Getting to I Do?
I have, yeah.
Have you read chapter 14 where you
Is that
contract?
Where you negotiate time and play?
Yeah, time, space, money, and play.
Right. Yeah.
You're
so
asking
I want
him to negotiate that, things. Right?
Yeah. I want him to negotiate that with me, yeah, because I'm not satisfied with what we have.
All right. And so you said, I will not physically be with you until we negotiate. And you could
right.
do it on the phone with me.
Yeah.
Or you can do it by yourself. So you
right.
set the standards that I support. You want
yeah.
to negotiate. You know what? For you and he, just pre-engagement negotiation, you don't
right.
have to marry somebody you're engaged to.
Yeah.
I'm a minister, and I'm Universal Life Church, and I have married people, but they didn't sign any legal documents.
Yeah.
They mated, but they had a ceremony that looked like a real wedding, and it wasn't.
Yeah, right.
So,
and I would probably be open to even something like that. But yeah, I want to renegotiate those four areas of our relationship, but he feels like our relationship is perfect the way it is.
Of
so
course it's
where...
perfect. He has a free wife, free life,
yeah.
free, come on, honey. It's time
yeah.
to go to crisis. And
yeah,
you've
which is
gone.
What I did. I told him, you know, then we should just rip the Band-Aid off. Because we've been through this before where we broke up, but we stayed friends because I guess I wasn't strong enough at the time to just say we can't talk anymore.
No,
but
you weren't self-loving enough.
Yes. But I am now. So
I understand
him, like,
that.
Can't
so
do this
I don't you know? Want you to smell him
mm-hmm.
until you have a session with him, with or without me.
Okay.
But I want
so what do
you
I do?
To
what's my next step? Okay.
What
mm-hmm.
you do now is answer every phone call, every email, everything he sends to you, and you repeat your feelings, whatever he asks you. I'm not comfortable with this contract. I at least want to be engaged, even if we don't get married.
Yeah.
And I want to negotiate time, space, money, and play.
Okay.
Non-sexual play and sexual play.
Right.
So the part that I want you not to do is don't reject him by not answering his reach outs.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Do you have anything else to say or ask?
No, I guess that was just it. I just wanted to know how I handled his reach out during the no contact period. So,
okay. Do you have my directions?
Yeah. So I'm to courteously answer him and I'm to reiterate my feelings, and let him know that, we cannot continue our romantic relationship without negotiating the four areas. Oh, and that also I want to be engaged even if we don't get married.
Very good.
Is that right?
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Allen.
Thank you, caller.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we got going on here. Certainly have more callers. So I'm just going to see what our wonderful Ronan at the switchboard does. In the meantime, I'll remind everybody, you can book an appointment with Dr. Allen. The way to do that is to reach out via email at info@dr.allen. Dr. Allen, do you have a question?
Hello, Dr. Allen. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
Hello.
I do have a question. I talked to you last week.
Yes.
About the man in Canada that was about to return to Germany. And you told me, I did what you told me. I sent him a message to tell him if he needed a room in Germany, then he could rent one at my house.
Okay.
Well, he said his answer was, all will be fine. I still have a place to go in my hometown. Thank you so much, so much for your offer. And I replied,
But he said no?
Yes, he said, all will be fine. It will be okay. I will be okay. He said, I still have a place to go to in my hometown. I think that's his mother's house where he's going.
Okay. Well, he has a right to go where he wants to go. How are you handling his rejection?
I think I'm quite disappointed. And, well, we talked, I just said, well, it's very good for you. I was happy for him that he was sure of a place to go to.
They're very good. That's very good.
Yes, that was my primary reaction to him. And then at the same time, I heard I got the new job. So I was very happy and I said that to him and he congratulated me very much. And he wanted to know what I was going to do and where. And I told him and then we talked about the time difference at the moment. And then it was very late in the evening for me. So I said
what
that.
What country are you in right now?
Germany.
That's what I thought. So you had a loving conversation. You were okay with him rejecting your hospitality. He was mm-hmm. happy for you. I hear that you have a friendship building.
Yes, but I'm very confused and I feel a bit lost on what to do. The next step of I ended that communication with that I was going to bed and it was late and that I was going to finish the day. And I felt a bit worried because I told him he could use the room and I did say rent it. So I didn't like the idea that he would be thinking that I was just giving it without nothing in return. So 2 days later, I didn't hear anything from him. At that day, I would go to my mother's. It was her birthday. So I wrote him a text and I said, I won't be online today. I just wanted you to say, because we are friends, you can use the front room. You know where it is and you can rent it if you need it. I just wanted you to know that. So that's what the message
was. Good. You clarified your contract. Very nice.
Yes, because
Is this person a man or a woman?
He's a man, but you said last week he acted like a woman.
Well, yes. The many men really have been raised to follow their feelings rather than their intuition. Are you emotionally, romantically interested in him?
Yes, I am, and that's the problem because I haven't seen him in 2 years. He reached out to me a couple of times, and I wrote a hi bye letter in April, and he didn't respond. And a month ago, I learned that he was in Canada. He told me.
He's living in Canada?
He's coming back.
He's coming back, but he's living in Canada. So
yes.
I'm hearing that you miss him.
Yes, I do. And I don't really understand where I'm standing with him. The last clarification, he didn't answer in a few days. And about 4 days later, I just sent him a picture, a little emoticon of an airplane with a question mark, just to ask, how far he is with his scheduling his flight, because that's what he talked about. And he answered that he is coming back this weekend. Then his flight will be going to Germany. And he said, I asked him, are you ready for that? And he said, not quite, but it will go as it goes. I asked him, what do you mean? And he said, I made a lot of friends in a very short time and everyone is willing to help me out. And I said, oh, how good for you. That's very nice. But it must be more difficult to return to Germany then. And he said, yes, it is. But with the COVID, it's hell to be in an apartment here. And I said, I can imagine. And that's the communication. So he said he wanted to go back to Canada in spring. And I feel a little bit disappointed because he didn't want to rent a room. And he is thinking about
it. I understand that. But he said he wants to run the show. He wants to determine what's happening. I advise you to respect him so that he can cherish you. So let him design your relationship from a friendship, if he wants a romance, in his time. Will you do that?
I find it very difficult because I feel a bit stupid and I feel a bit left in the cold and left in the dark because
I hear that your chemistry has gone up and you want to get romantically involved, but I'm hearing that he's too masculine, even if he's sensitive, to be a woman with you. So let him be a man, please.
Okay. So I won't do anything.
No, give him 8 weeks.
Okay.
Give him 8 weeks because your chemistry, your oxytocin, has been stimulated, and I can hear it here in America, that when you dealt with him, the love you have for him as a friend going to romance is asking you to go chase him. But I think chasing him would be destructive because I hear him saying he wants to run his life.
Yes.
But he's coming to Germany and he's your friend. So let him be your friend until something emerges that he's comfortable with.
And what do you mean that something emerges that he's comfortable with?
That he wants to take you out, that he wants to give you a kiss, that he wants to start a romance.
Okay.
Don't you start it. You've done it. You offered him a place in your home. That was good. You handled it gracefully. You were very respectful. Remember, men like to be respected by the women they're interested in. So please respect him and give him time. And time for me is 8 weeks. Let's see if he reaches out to you during those 8 weeks.
Okay, I will. And the last time you said that he acted like a woman, but when I hear you now, I will stay the woman and let him be the man.
That's exactly right. You sound like a very strong woman. I'm a strong woman. And strong women can make a mistake if they act strong and masculine with a man, because he's still a man. So please give him space to court you.
Okay, I understand.
Good. Okay. Excellent.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a hard time.
You're
because I
welcome.
Really would like to get some clarification from his side after a long time.
He gave you clarification when he said he's looking forward to restarting his life in Germany.
Yes, but he also said it's temporary. He also said he wants to return to Canada in spring again.
I got news for you. Lots can happen between now and spring. Be a very, very passive, patient, and vulnerable woman about him. Please, be the co-pilot.
Okay.
Don't compete with the pilot.
Okay, thank you very much, because that really reassures me, because I'm more of a woman, and I was trying to be a man, and it made me very confused what to do
next.
I
know that. I want you to be passive, patient, and vulnerable, so this man can court you out of a friendship into a relationship if he wants one.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay,
thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, it's good to be getting updates from her. I like that. You've got to speak with her several times.
I know.
So here we go. We've got another caller coming on the line here in just a second.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. So I loved hearing that last caller. And
what
Dr.
did you
Pat.
Love about it? Oh, no. What did you love that you learned from that last caller?
To let the man lead and let him like be, you know, not try. Yeah. I love that. And you said, let him court you. Give him space to let him court you. I so love that.
Good. Men have masculine bodies, but their souls, the anima, are extraordinarily sensitive. Carl Jung's wife, Emma, wrote the book Anima, Animas, We women have smaller bodies, more sensitive bodies, but we have souls called the animas, which are tremendously significant and important to us. Women get what they want by having the courage to say no to what they don't want. And men get what they want by having the courage to go after it. So what can we do for you?
Well, I have, I'm doing the Judy dating, online dating.
Okay.
Very well. I met a guy. We really hit it off over the phone.
You met him or he met you?
He met
Who talked first?
He did.
Good.
He did.
That means, remember, talking is left lobe work. So when you talk, you're talking and you're using your Broca, B-R-O-C-A, which is a piece of your right, your left lobe in your brain that is in charge of language. So I'm a transactional analyst, and I teach people how to negotiate with words.
Yes, and I'm learning so much.
Good.
We had a wonderful conversation. He asked if he could call me again later that night. And I said, yes, when do you want to? And he let me know he'd call me at 9 o'clock. And then at 9:30, I went to bed. I turned my phone off. I didn't hear from him. And in the morning, I saw he left a phone message and a text message apologizing, letting me know something important came up. And
That's
he
fine.
Broke an agreement. Yeah, he broke an agreement. And then
he made amends.
Yes, for sure.
And that's important.
Yeah. And so anyway, I still used your tools. I just said, thanks for letting me know. And you have a right to tell me you'll call at this time and not. And so I don't know if it was necessary to use your tools, but it ended in a really great phone conversation.
Good.
So I'm happy with that. And
you respected him, even though he wasn't perfect.
Yeah, and we both felt really great after we talked about it.
Good.
So mainly I just wanted to, like, I was concerned, like, how many times if he breaks agreements do I put up with it, because it's new. Like
that's up to your instinct.
Okay.
Your serotonin to help you when you're stressed out, and you have norepinephrine, which says, I'm done.
Okay.
So I want you to accept him as a human being until you don't want him.
Okay.
Then you can make, I want to talk to you about our relationship and our dating. Is it convenient? And he says, yes. And you say, you have every right to do this or to say that or whatever, and then not do it. But I am not turned on by that. That's really a painful experience. So I want you to know that if it happens more than I can handle, we're done.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
And then I have one more question about
Judy dating.
So because the Judy dating is happening on the phone and online now, would you say after 3 phone calls, that would be, and you still feel nothing?
No,
like,
attraction, yes. I say give everybody that's not in a jail outfit, you know, from breaking out of jail, give every man who's decent, he's not molesting you, he's not doing anything immoral, unethical, or illegal, give him 3 times to demonstrate his gentleman's nature. And so that, if you don't,
So
if
in
you
this
don't
time
have chemistry, was, pardon?
Sorry, go ahead.
If you don't have improving chemistry, then you say to him, you know, you have a right to do those things, and I've told you they're uncomfortable for me. So I just really don't think that I can date you anymore.
And so even if I don't feel attraction for a guy the first time he asks me out, no anything, no, don't feel compatible, don't feel chemistry, anything, still give him 3 phone calls?
Give him, if the phone calls are phone call dates, in other words, you're getting friendships going.
Okay.
So I like 3. One only is too tight. First dates can be very clumsy. So
okay.
The first date, I don't, unless he does something immoral, unethical, or illegal, that's too tight. 2 dates is either or, yes or no, yes or no. 3 dates on the phone or wherever, being that you gave him 3 chances to do the best he could to act like a gentleman.
Okay. Great. And so,
but
okay.
Then you say to him, if you want to date me as a friend only, feel free to ask me. If he's a human being that you think of as a nice person, but not boyfriend material, tell him that you don't want to lead him on and you don't want to use him socially, but if he wants to date you as a friend, you consider it.
Okay.
If you don't want to date him at all, just tell him, I don't have the right feelings romantically to date you, and I don't want to lead you on, and I don't want to use you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
All right. We're moving through them tonight.
Good.
All right. Let me see what we got going on here. Here we go. All right, I love it. Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I sure do. Good evening, Dr. Allen. Good evening, Kelly.
Good evening.
I have a question. So a man has been dating me. We have just a dating relationship for 4 years.
Are you talking dating as friends or dating romantically?
Romantically dating.
Okay. Are you in a relationship?
Yes. Yes.
Monogamous, continuous, and long-term?
Monogamous, continuous, and we have not settled on long-term, but I would say that it's monogamous and continuous.
Okay. What about you? Do you want to get married or do you want to mate?
I would like to mate.
Okay. You don't want to legally get married?
No, no. He is 64. I am 52. And my question is the following. He is struggling very much financially to the point where he had to visit a food bank and apply for assistance. And of course, he's taking everything in me to not jump in and mother, and you know, he shared
with me. I fully understand that.
So what do I do?
What you do is have him over for dinner once in a while. Do what a boyfriend girlfriend relationship does.
Mm-hmm.
But money is, I mean, if you want to be the provider of money, you're voting for respect. Do you want to be respected by this man? Or do you
I want to be cherished. And he does a pretty good job, I would say, of cherishing my feelings.
That's wonderful.
He called me 4 or 5 times a week. He recently...
That's wonderful. Then what is the question? He sounds like a lovely boyfriend, but not a successful husband.
Well, he mentioned to me that he had to, make this step because he's, as I said, he's struggling financially. And then I said, well, I would like to invite you, to dinner. It's the holidays, whatever. And he kind of brushed it off. So I didn't know if that was disrespectful. And he hasn't brought it up again other than the time that he told me that that's what he was going to do. So I assume I don't bring it up.
Bring up marriage?
His financial situation and the fact that he's really struggling right now, even for food.
Well, you dated how long?
4 years.
You dated 4 years. I dare say that even as a friend, it would be very nice of you to say whatever his name is. Don't say it here, but say it. I want to ask you some questions that may be very sensitive about our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Is it acceptable for me to say it, what I want?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, when would it be convenient to have a conversation that's sensitive?
Mm-hmm.
Would he mind that?
Not at all. And I've used your tools before, and he responds very well.
All right. And then tell him, I really care about you. I've enjoyed being with you for these 4 years.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you some questions. What are the questions you want to ask him?
Can I support him in any way during this time, without emasculating him?
If you do it in a business-like way, do you want to lend him money?
No, I would feel comfortable, I think, like you said, having him over for dinner or perhaps inviting him to a meal, but not lending him money. That's too transactional.
Okay. Then we just found that out, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is you'd like to do some homemaking gifts. And I want you to know there are 3 signs of a poor negotiator. Mm-hmm. They're evasive. I want to cook you some meals. That isn't detailed enough. I want to have you over for dinner every Sunday. That's more detailed. Don't be evasive with your request. The second thing is secretive. How can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Instead of that, because people say, if you loved me, you'd know what I need.
And that's, my mother used to say that.
Means you've got to be psychic. So in this particular case, you would ask, I'm willing to give you this, the meals, whatever. Whatever you're willing to provide to help him survive this blank spot in his life, then say it, but do it from the point of view, I'm comfortable doing this, this, and that, this often, not that, be detailed. Mm-hmm. And the last sign of a poor negotiator is abrupt. I want to help you. Well, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
So find out if he's willing. First of all, make an appointment to talk about a sensitive subject, and then at his convenience, and then tell him, I really have enjoyed, you've been very good to me these past 4 years, and I want to be of service, and these are the ways that I'm comfortable. And you mm-hmm. set up what's comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And see what he says, especially since you told me the story that he didn't accept your offer of a meal.
No, no. He said that very kind, we'll talk about it. He kind of brushed it off, you know.
And you know what? He may have been doing that for you instead
yeah.
of for him. So yes. do you understand? I want you not to be evasive with your offer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to expect him to mind read your offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to be abrupt with your offer.
Uh-huh.
Let him speak and give him the support you want to give him that's comfortable for you.
And this is still, given that he his age and he is in his feminine, right? He's 64. This is
what you're doing is respectfully working on your friendship.
Yes. Yes.
Would yes. you do this with a girlfriend you've known 4 years?
Who was struggling? Sure.
Yes.
Yes, I would.
That's okay. what a friend does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? But make sure that you don't offer him something that you really know is mothering him instead of allowing you to be a charitable human being.
What would be an example of mothering in this case, Dr. Allen?
I want you to come over every Saturday and Sunday oh. for dinner.
Yes. Totally. Okay. Yeah, got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Make sure that you're comfortable with your offer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And I have one more quick question,
What's that?
I may. So I know you had
you
talked
may.
About, I know you had spoken a lot about how a man in andropause bonds, but how does intimacy or chemistry play into that bonding process?
What happens is that his feelings can be hurt with disrespect more sensitively than a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they found studies that men in their 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, they really need to be with a woman, unless they're gay, biologically, they see, as women get older, I'm 86, mm-hmm. as women get older, we get more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And so too often we start taking, now I think it'd be good for you if you did that or this or something, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
when men get into andropause, which starts around 50, 52,
mm-hmm.
and it goes on for about 10 years, it's the same process of change that we women do when we go from estrogen to progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
We become more male. You understand, men's gift to their tribe or family is their youth and what they mm-hmm. can build for the family. A woman's mm-hmm. gift is if she enjoys making the home.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
But as they get to that andropause, menopause time, the men get more sensitive and need to be respected with feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And the women need to be respected without competition. Some men get very upset when they watch their wives become men.
And
the truth of the matter is, he is literally and she is literally becoming partners. The four of you are waltzing.
Right.
Not competing.
Yes. Yeah, he often says the physical intimacy and the chemistry that we share is the best he's ever experienced. So I just was wondering if that was a product of him being bonded.
Yes, that's true. That's so smart. Yes. As they get older, they go on oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
We go on progesterone. Then grandma, right?
Correct.
When they get older.
Yes.
So,
okay.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. You've answered all my questions. I know how to
approach
this sensitive
You'll
topic.
Think some more. Yeah. That's good. Yes. That's good.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Surely. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you, caller.
Bye bye.
Okay.
It's so interesting. In the 50 years I've been doing this business, I'm doing more for mature people than young ones. It's amazing. It's like, you know, retirement is making its effect. Okay. So, let's do some more.
There we go. We have another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hello, Dr. Allen. How are you?
I am just fine. I am basic. I'm washing my hands. I'm keeping separation. In fact, I'm pretty much in quarantine. And I am, what's the third one?
Well, I'm happy to hear that you are well, and I'm
yeah,
I'm
that's right. You asked and I gave
you
the answer. Okay.
Okay, so my question is, how do you tell a man that you think that his, a man who is dating you and in a committed relationship, that you think that his relationship with his mother is too much, it's too intensive, and it's too close, it's too much?
Who thinks it's too much? The girlfriend? Oh, you
yes.
do?
Yes.
Well, how old are you?
40.
You're 40 years old. It
yes.
sounds like you want to mother him. Were you raised to be a man?
Yes.
If your dad walked in the door, would he say, how did you do today? Or how did you feel about what you did?
Definitely do, and it wouldn't have been my dad, it would have been my mom, and my mother's a man too.
Okay, do they fight or are they divorced?
They were in love, but they were not together, and they both married other people, and everyone who ever witnessed them said they were in love. So yes, they would fight very passionately, very, very passionately.
Okay, so you want to mother your boyfriend.
Is that what that is?
Of course that's what that is. What's it got to do with you that he's doing anything with his mother?
Because if it takes time away from us, or isn't that just kind of weird? Like 3 and 4 times a day, Dr. Pat, that's normal?
It's normal for him. Is he 51% valuable to you?
Yes.
And how old is he?
50.
He's 50, and you know that's perimenopause.
Yes.
You know that that age is that.
Yes.
He is simply enjoying his mother, and it takes away time from your relationship, but you have a happier man when he's with you.
True.
And God forbid, she will probably die, and you will probably step into her box of power. So if I were you, it's not, raise your right hand. We're going to do you the pledge.
Okay.
I promise. On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect my boyfriend.
To respect my boyfriend.
Even when I think, I can mother him into more masculinity.
I can mother him into more masculinity. Ouch.
However, I am not going to mother him into anything.
I am not going to mother him into anything.
Unless I first have to call the police.
A medical doctor to save my life.
Or a lawyer to sue him. Do you understand? Your dad and mom wanted you to do good, to feel good, which is a masculine direction, scripting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're all scripted. I'm supposed to be Patrick for my father, but I was Patricia.
Wow.
So I grew up and I became a good man, PhD, 86, still working, right? But I know what I'm doing, and I'm doing what feels good, because I'm a girl, not a boy. So I want you to understand, yes, he does hang out with his mother, because she was there before you were, and basically he wants to get all the mothering he can get from her, but from you, it's your idea, and therefore it's rebuilding him as if he was 25 years old, and he's not. Older men have to feel good to do good, and older women have to do good to feel good.
That's good.
You see what I mean?
Rebuilding
him is not doing good for him.
No, I just heard that. I just heard that rebuilding him is a thought, and thinking is masculine in terms of what we're going to respect. So I hear it.
All right. Good girl.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Oh, there's one more question I had about
what?
Okay. You had, there was maybe two calls ago, there was a caller who you said, when women are strong, we mess things up. She was being headstrong, I think, with her man. And you were telling her to be passive, patient, and vulnerable, to be very feminine. And I just wanted you to kind of finish that thought of what happens when we try to go strong with our men instead of being feminine.
Well, when you go strong, you're mothering him, and mothering is spelled M-A-N.
Yeah.
Men are built to be competitive, conquering, and controlling. Women are built when they're young to be passive, patient, and vulnerable. So when you grow older, your body may have a tendency to want to take over and rebuild him, but you will not have a happy man. In fact, statistics show that men that are not happy in their 50s and 60s, when we are supposed to be happy, you know that those 50s and 60s years are the happiest, more happy than being young. If you
No, lived. I didn't know that.
Right, yes. That was a shock for me too. Anyway, being 50s and 60s, if you lived as a woman and a man for it, if you were raised to be a boy when you're a girl, or a girl when you're a boy, you have a bad time when you get older, because the men are becoming women anyway, and the women are becoming men anyway, but they've already been men because mom and dad wanted them to be old prematurely.
Wow. I never heard it put that way before. That's really insightful.
I know that, but that's the scientific way.
Okay. Okay, so if we, yes, I get it. If we're too strong, then we're in our masculine and we're mothering them, which equals M-A-N. And yeah, he doesn't want to be with a man. So got it. Yep, I got
that's
it.
That's right. Got it. Good.
Thank you, Dr. Pat.
Balls.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, caller. All right. Now then, Dr. Allen, you were saying something before our last call. We were talking about how some people, older people, are reaching out.
You mean to us?
Yeah. You know, we always get a lot of young calls, but you're right. I've noticed a trend. We're getting some people in their 40s and 50s.
I understand that. That's nature doing its thing.
Do you think that this pandemic has a lot of impact on that?
I think the pandemic has animals, plants, everything. But dear God, I'm glad we are evolving through the vaccinations and the things that will help us stay alive if we honor our required duties. Mask.
I think it's really interesting that I kind of feel like people have gotten, you know, people were so busy in their lives, and you know, that maybe they lost sight of, they didn't want to be alone. And now this has been sort of forced isolation, and the busyness of day-to-day life has kind of altered.
More friendship and sexuality. Loneliness is a bad, bad problem to have. And when you are not allowed to be playing football, having sex, doing those things, all you've got is making friendships. But friendships is love. Activities, which I hope everybody doesn't take these Christmas, New Year's vacations and try to act young and normal. Virus problem.
Well, interestingly enough, I just, I'm friends with a medical doctor and a pharmacist, and they were both doing a video on Facebook regarding hydroxychloroquine, which, of course, in the beginning, they were saying, one camp was saying wasn't a good alternative, and another camp was saying that it was, but now they've released documentation saying that it is an effective treatment. So, you know, because there is an issue with the vaccination for people that have some pre-conditions for allergies.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And, you know, heart conditions and things of that nature. So, you know, while it didn't look hopeful before, it's very hopeful now for those people who can't be vaccinated. You know, my daughter has had a terrible allergic reaction to a vaccine, the MMR.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was in basically bedridden for 6 weeks and covered.
Wow.
So her physician says she can never have another vaccine because she's highly sensitive. And, you know, basically the vaccine is toxic to her. So, you know, that was a concern, which is why I was doing the research and reaching out to some of my people in the medical field, because, you know, I have to figure out how to cover her. She's 18 years old and, you know, she's young. So her curate for it is very good, but nonetheless, you know, you have to have your bases covered. So
yes,
that's a thing I think that's interesting. I've had a lot of people reach out, and we have some people that have reached out to us on Facebook. I have some of their questions tonight. Pardon me. That are talking about that, that are talking about, you know, will they remain isolated because they have, they don't have the ability to take the vaccine or what have you. And they're, you know, I sense a lot of fear and depression in some of these people. And they're basically saying it that, you know, we've had some of our Facebook people reach out and say, I'm just so lonely and I'm depressed. And yes. I was so looking at some research that you and I had talked to Robert Storr about with taking their own lives because they're so devastated by everything that's happening.
I know.
I think we should have Robert back on again, especially now that it's the holidays and then the double isolation. You know, people are often so isolated in the holidays, but now with this and just the, you know, the holiday stress, maybe we should invite Robert to be with us again.
If you think so, we'll do it.
Awesome.
What?
Awesome. Oh, we got a call.
What?
Hi, with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi. I am calling you back because now that you're talking about the COVID, I have one follow up question.
What's that?
The guy that I feel, well, he called me and we had a great connection over the phone, and he asked, how soon can we meet? And I said, I'm being really careful about COVID. Would he be open to a Zoom call? And he said, no, he doesn't want to do Zoom. He doesn't want to, like, he only just wants to meet in person as quickly as possible. And my thing is, he has a 13-year-old son who lives with them. And so I don't have confidence that either one of them is all that careful, especially because he won't do a Zoom meeting with me. So I'm wondering.
I commend you for your responsibility.
So just let him know that I don't feel comfortable and don't do because I want to do a Zoom call, but I don't want to meet in person at this time.
That's exactly right. And God willing, hopefully in the next year, in next year sometime, is that we will be able to socialize more. But in the meantime, we've got to enjoy our limitations as best we can. And thank God for Zoom.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I have a very hard time when guys get like a little pushy and but
they're built to be competitive, conquering, and controlling. That's their physiological makeup. So be sure you always tell them you have a right to say that again, do that, whatever. But I'm not comfortable risking my life. Do you see?
Okay.
In this very dangerous period of time.
And then they continue to push a little bit and try and talk me into
it. Doesn't matter. Don't get mad at them for being men, but deal with them as a lady. You have every right to ask me every 3 minutes to meet you. I'm not comfortable risking my life.
Okay. Whew, that's hard, but I'm going to do it. And I thank you for giving me the courage. All right. Thank you, Dr. Pat.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good follow-up question. Okay, so we have a gentleman who is with my partner for 6 months before the pandemic.
Now, is this gay or straight?
Gay man. Yeah.
Two men. Okay, I didn't get the two men.
He says
a partner may be a girl or a guy in my head.
So he says, we were together 6 months before the pandemic struck.
Okay.
And now, he says, now we have a strange rift in our relationship. For 3 months, he was out of the state and couldn't return home. And I got a sense that something changed in our relationship. He's back now and we're quarantined together, but everything feels very different, less intimate, and stilted. What could be the problem? And what can I do to help us?
Talk about it. Set up a session. Partner, I want to talk about our relationship and the changes I have felt. It may very easily go from they were romantic when they first had their meeting because the pandemic wasn't rampant. And now he may be saving his life by being careful living with a friend.
That makes sense.
Somebody may have fallen out of love.
And you talk about those cycles through the months, the first three, the second three, the third, and the fourth. But they had a little gap. They had a three-month gap in that timeline. So what happens with that, Dr. Allen, when you're going through those periods, like the first, the perfect period, and the imperfect period, what happens when you have a gap there? You know, where, because they were together 6 months, and then the partner was gone for 3 months.
It's what he did during the 3 months. He may have fallen in love with somebody else.
Oh, okay.
And for that reason, he's pragmatically living with somebody, this person, but he's not romantically, he's not in love. That's what I'm picking up, the coolness of not being in love.
Right. Interesting. I just, you know, I have a friend whose husband has gone, is overseas currently. And she gets a sense that he's different. And
that's what I'm saying.
He is supposed to return. And I think she said January, and she's terrified. She's very, very frightened that when he comes back, something will be different. Well, obviously it's going to be because he's been gone all this time. And, you know.
But if they were genuinely in love when they were together, that chemical bonding will stay and resurge. But if they were simply girlfriend, boyfriend, there was not enough bonding to hold up.
They have two children.
What?
They're married. They have two small children. One is 4 and one is 5.5.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if they were not really chemically involved with each other when they started their life together,
mm-hmm.
and they separate, the separation is like being 18 and leaving home and living in an apartment. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
To be in love, you've got to be... One of the things, You've got to be territorial, because when you're really bonded to somebody, and that's women bonded to men and men falling, women do not fall in love. Men do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason that men ask for free sex, because they're really wanting to have sex, not make love.
Right.
But when a woman does not allow sex to be practiced, then the man has an opportunity to fall in love in that virtuous space.
Right.
But young men don't fall in love like old, down up to 50, whatever. But men
right.
who are in their 40s and 50s and going 60s, they bond because they're going on estrogen. So the chemistry, when people, for example, go off to school, college, if they were young, sexy teenagers, they were probably having sex, not making love.
Mm-hmm.
And they go off to college, and when they come back for Christmas and Thanksgiving and whatever else, the feelings are not the same, except if they got married and have a baby, their life is the same.
It definitely does. See?
So that's what I think is going on. Really, the best formation of a relationship is real friendship, trustworthiness, keep your contracts, real negotiation with the relationship. Chapter 14 in my book, Getting to I Do. Letting a friendship build seriously into an in-depth love affair. A love affair can be supported by love letters.
Oh, yeah.
Because the memory bank is physical, mental, and emotional.
I think that is a lost art. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because going through looking for some Christmas ornaments, I ended up in a memory box. And in that memory box were letters from my friend, who I'm still friends with since fifth grade, when he was away in the military. And I had all the pictures and all the letters that he wrote me. Now, you got to understand, that was a really long time ago. I'm 56. And at the time, we were 17, 18 years old. So I've had those letters a long time. And it's interesting because I wrote him a lot. He wrote me a lot. And we're still connected, even after all these years. We talk, you know, we text, we send each other messages. And, you know, that love and appreciation of a very good friend that just remains so strong. I think that
right.
love letters are a lost art.
Got it.
So here we have another question from our Facebook fans, of which you have a lot.
Good.
This is what she says. I have been married 17 years. And I've asked myself the question over and over and over again, is he 51% worth it at this juncture in time? I don't know if I'm feeling that level of comfort of being with somebody, or if I'm feeling grim, because I assume I'm changing. I am menopausal, and he would be andropausal because he is 66.
That noise.
I'm not sure. He is 66 years old. So, yeah. She says she's feeling restless and bored. Now, Dr. Ellen, you talk about that cycle, you know, and everybody talks about the 7-year itch, but you have a totally different theory on that. You have the 3.5 years. So when you get to be married to somebody 17 years, you're cycling through that every 3.5 years?
That's the astrological point of view.
Okay.
And so 3.5 years is basically, you know, the 7-year commitment.
Right.
It's 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the 3.5, like I usually always teach people, you can be with somebody you're not in love with for 3 or 3.5 years, but you can't do it more than a couple of times.
Right.
Because it's too boring.
Right. And she's coming up on 18 years, which would be many of those 3.5 year cycles. So,
yes, but in those, so I'm talking about when they're being loving and sexual and building, you pretty well know where you're at and what you're doing in no less than 2 cycles. The 7-year itch we hear about.
Yeah, like the old movie.
Right. So that this whole business of mating is so scientifically buildable if it's honored, but people tend to not honor science. And we know we went through quite a hassle about science in our political world, but science does run the show.
Yeah, I understand that. So the science, I think what we've got going on here is that she's in menopause and he's in andropause. So scientifically, their body chemistry has changed. And if you're going to menopause and your pheromones smell one way prior to menopause, I would assume after menopause, it smells, your pheromones are different. So
that's totally correct.
So biologically, you're a new creature, which could possibly mean that no longer the pheromones that either one of you are putting out are cohesive for the relationship. I mean, after almost 18 years. So I see what she's saying. She's saying, I've been with him 18 years. Do I just stick it out or do I live this end portion of my life doing something, looking for, finding something exciting and different?
Now, what we're listening to is a mature person wanting to go back and
it's a midlife crisis.
It's a midlife crisis, and that's when he goes, gets the red Ferrari, and she starts falling in love with the mailman. It's when science steps in and takes apart what really is a miracle to even exist, the fact that men live past 50 is awesome.
Yeah.
You see, because we women are built to live longer than men, because women in a village do more service. We grind the corn, we babysit, we take care of the sick. You only need one king to a village.
And right.
It's all the fair maidens. So it's really interesting when you look at humans as animals, you'll see that they have patterns just like animals.
Right.
But if you don't pay attention, you make some mistakes. That's when women sometimes decide, get their face redone, and they start wanting the husband to die or get lost because they've got a fantasy of regenerating youthfulness with
right.
body care. And I'm
or a fancy red car.
Yes, that's it.
So a lot of people seem to think that it's only men that have that midlife crisis, but that's definitely not true as far as I can
see. No. Women, as they get older, get bored, and they are masculine enough to want to create a world of their own, whether they go to school or whether they get a lover. They're called cougars for a reason.
And speaking of that, one of our Facebook people wants to know, when you're online dating and you're looking at profiles, how can you eke out and figure out if you've run into one of the archetypes, the Peter Pan, the monk?
Yes.
Oh, you've got a new caller coming
in. By
what
they're selling.
Right, okay.
They're either selling sensual and sexual or security and status.
Gotcha. So you're looking for those points in the profile. We've got a caller on with us, Dr. Allen. Hey, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Caller. That's you, caller, out of the 818. We can't hear you. Okay. All right. Hopefully we'll get them back.
Okay.
Yeah, so I see what you're saying. If you look at the profile, you can generally read between the lines and tell.
Totally. Is this person trying to get laid or paid?
I think they're just duty dating is what she said. I'm duty dating so I can get better at identifying and finding what it is I'm looking for. I'm 23 years old, so I'm young and I'm learning and exploring. I had a relatively overbearing parents and was not allowed to date until I moved out. At 19 years old.
Wow.
So I'm new to the dating pool. I'm new to learning this. I was never taught by my parents. So apparently they're religious and a particular kind of religious. So she's saying she doesn't want to mess up. She does want to eventually be married and have children. But at 23 and never really having a lot of experience, she wants to gain the experience without damaging herself too badly.
Then don't have intercourse unless you're engaged.
I love that, Dr. Allen. So she's listening live. She just doesn't want to be on because she doesn't want anyone to hear her voice. And she's wondering if you can explain that, how you explain that. She says she's doing the duty dating. She's not having intercourse with any of them, which isn't hard considering the pandemic at this particular time, she said.
That's pretty good. The pandemic fits my program very nicely.
Yeah, so she's saying
it requires nature.
She's looked at some of the profiles and... you can do a wave or a wink or whatever on some of these dating apps. And she says she's made a couple of mistakes and found some real rugged characters and was glad that they weren't meeting in person and they were having these Zoom dates instead.
Right.
So she says, when we get to a place where we can see people again, Dr. Allen,
Yes.
How do you then determine if they're a Peter Pan? People can wear a mask, meaning a mask. Like,
don't marry them until you know them a year. Go four seasons.
Okay.
Because people, winter people, may be totally different in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really know a person until you know them at close range for a year.
Well, I think that's true. And I think one of the interesting things is it has a lot to do with, again, science and our physical world, because some people have a problem with sunlight, not having enough sunlight. Like, I live in Washington State. It rains here a lot. It's cloudy often. In the summer, we're really blessed when it's sunny and the sun doesn't set until almost 10 o'clock at night. We get plenty of sun in the summertime. However, you know, at 4 o'clock today, it was already dark here where I live.
And I know, and you understand in therapy, we have a diagnosis, seasonal affect disorder.
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you can get engaged on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
You can move in together engaged.
Right.
But signing a legal business document called a marriage agreement, I recommend that you know them and you have determined whether you trust, you know, and are safe with the human being, because marriage is a business. And women's marriage starts when they let a man penetrate their body.
Right.
And a man's marriage starts when he signs the contract for the house or the payment plan or whatever.
So right.
Men are very left lobe, business oriented. Men pray that women will stay the same after the marriage. And guess what? Women pray that men change at the wedding.
You know, that's so interesting too. And I just was saying it to a friend of mine. Why is it you want to marry somebody when all you want to do at that point forward is to change them? I don't understand the concept of picking that person that you just want to change. Like, why don't you just move on? It's like buying the first pair of shoes. You go in, you buy this pair of shoes. You've only tried on one pair. So, like, okay, they pitched, you don't like them. Like, that's how I equate relationships when you're first dating somebody. It's like, then, and it's funny because I get a lot of women that say to me, oh, duty dating is cheating. And I'm like, well, it's only cheating if you're going to bed and having intercourse with these people on every date you go on. Like, you know, and I think people don't understand, like, they think it's cheating, but it's not how it is. I mean, in the 50s, this was normal dating. You went to the movies with Steve and you went on a picnic with Dale and you, you know, maybe you went to the movie theater with Tom. You weren't having intercourse with any of them. You were just dating him. You were trying him out. I'm going to try out this pair of shoes.
You were practicing a courtship. We have neglected our courtship.
Where did that disconnect happen, Dr. Allen? Because I want to say that
when women became masculine.
So, women's lib.
Women's lib.
And so now, women are having to relearn that art. But the problem is, I think that men, and you and I have discussed this before, but the Me Too movement has really put men in a place where they're not willing to take the chance.
No, that's so true.
I'm talking to a lot. that aren't willing to take a chance.
That is exactly right. That's why I'm very pleased that enough people are practicing what I teach, androgynous semantic realignment based on the science of sexuality.
Yeah. We have a call, Dr. Allen. You want to take a call?
What? Yes,
we have a caller. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Thank you so much. Happy holidays, and I hope you all are safe. And thank you for everything you guys do.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. So this guy was seeing me over the course of a few months, and I did not ask him questions or interview him because I just got the sense that he was a traveler and that he was only going to be in this area temporarily. So I never showed.
I do not like women interviewing men unless they are going to be the masculine, respectable energy. I like men interviewing women. What?
Thank you. Okay. I just wanted to make sure because, I don't want to be masculine. And
a woman listens to a man as he talks about his life. She finds out experientially who he is. Things like, what do you want in a marriage? He will interview you if he's considering marriage, because marriage is a business. And that's why I treat marriage like a business.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, he had mentioned, he was like, you never asked me any questions. And I said, no, you're right. I don't ask you any questions. And I didn't know, what else to say about that.
What else? I expect that you will brag or talk to me about what you're doing. You will sell me a deal.
Okay, I like that. Okay, I kind of felt
something. And I use physically, women are built to be eggs. The egg in a woman is the biggest cell in the body. Men are built to be sperm, one of the smallest cells in the body. But the egg without the sperm can't make a baby. So the whole process of a woman being passive, patient, and vulnerable allows a man to be competitive, conquering, and controlling. Men are built to move.
Women, and if he's not competitive, conquering, and controlling, he's not looking for marriage at this time, right?
No, he's looking generally to reproduce babies because that's his job on the planet as an animal. But a man who is allowed to make babies without responsibility, the phrase that I really hear today so much, my baby's mama. My baby's mama. That statement says, I'm not married to my baby's mama. I just gave her a baby, and she's raising the baby. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
she doesn't have an official title.
No, she's the baby's mama. And that tells a whole bunch, to me at least. It says she gave him free sex and she got a baby, and that's nice. But she's got the responsibility now of raising that baby, which is money, power, prestige, whatever. You see, we human beings are mammals. We are animals, and we do best if we take care of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the book, When the Body Says No, by Gabor Mate. 90% of all illness is based on misused bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that this pandemic teaches us the responsibility that we have towards being healthy in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And being aware of whether we want to be respected in a marriage, or we want to be cherished, or we want both, which is difficult. But that's what life is about, is making contracts. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep, physically, mm-hmm. mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And that's what I do. That's what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You see, business. The last book I wrote is A Man's World and a Woman's Universe. Men are in charge
yes.
of things. Women are in charge of oxygen. Oxygen is what you breathe and what you use to talk with. And sadly, this disease that's swamping our world, one of the worst signs is an interference in the breathing.
Yeah. Well, I don't go, yeah, and I'm very cautious about that due to, I have asthma, so I'm very cautious.
Oh, my. Thank you so much for taking care of yourself and demonstrating what I happen to be speaking of now.
Yeah, I'm very doing everything I can as it relates to that. And I also don't want any sort of, like, I don't know if this is a thing, but it kind of feels like it. I don't want a COVID relationship.
What does that mean?
Like, I don't want, to me, that means like two people got together because of COVID and there's nowhere else to go or anyone else to hang out with.
I have another story that's the same as that one. I had a run of people, and I talked to another therapist that had a run, where two people met and decided to move in together as a quarantine couple. But the problem was, he was not given an opportunity to fall in love with his partner because they had sex and lived together as a business, which is too close to prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that doing quarantines together is another way to not honor a man's need to fall in love. Men don't fall in love with vaginas. They fall in love with virtue.
Mm-hmm.
When a woman is virtuous, he knows he and his babies that he's going to give her are safer. But if she gives it away, he knows that even if he marries her, she may give it away.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah, and that's not what I want.
Do you want to marry or do you want to mate?
Yes. I want to marry. Marry.
But there's nothing different between the commitment, monogamy, sexually and socially, continuity, seeing each other, and last, long-term similarities, that you both want to be married or you both want to be mated. So negotiating your deals is what I do and we're doing here. Years.
It's amazing. Your work is amazing.
Yes.
Very simple. So I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I feel good about the last guy. I felt good about how I handled things and didn't interview him or ask him questions.
Were you virtuous?
Yes. I told him multiple times, I said, I appreciate you wanting to make love to me, but I'm not comfortable sleeping with anybody unless I have a commitment for monogamy. And I went to the monogamy, continuity, and long-term goals.
Good. Perfect. Beautiful.
And he tried several times, and I said, remember when I told you? And so he didn't make a commitment with me, and so...
It didn't work.
How was that?
But don't be surprised if 6 months to a year to 5 years, he's back and he admits he made a mistake in letting you go.
I kind of sense that. And then there's another guy that it's kind of nice. We've been chatting for, I think, like 3 months, just chatting back and forth, getting to know each other.
Getting to know, building a friendship.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying that, and I've been doing some of the Zoom dates with other men, and I actually quite like those. Although I can't feel chemistry through Zoom, or maybe it's just the men I've...
You have to smell them. Chemistry is created by smelling pheromones. Pheromones are the exuding cells from a body which don't have a real smell, other than body smells. But the pheromones, if a man's sitting next to a woman and her chemistry is a little like his mom and a little not like his mom, the diversification is attractive. Nature wants those babies. You know, in Indian cultures, you can't marry somebody from your own tribe. That's their way of protecting breeding and, you know, marrying your cousin or your sister accidentally. You see?
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense and resonates with me.
So, anyway, 3 months is that perfect period when everybody knows just pretty much the nice stuff. And then the second 3 months comes and it's the negative stuff. And then the third 3 months comes where you negotiate. Months 6 through 9 is very negotiable. And then the 12th month is either engagement or marriage.
And that's what I'm aiming for. Is that long-term marriage after a year.
Good. Are you dating 3 men?
I'm really doing everything I can to.
I know it's the Zoom meetings. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's really hard to keep 3. Yes, absolutely. And I try to go to, I don't know, with flirt, so I try to go.
Good. Good. Okay. So you're doing what you can to be ready to mate or marry when the time is right.
Yes, and I hope all I can do at this point is just hope that something comes along.
It will. That's nature. You see, right now we're all quarantined pretty much.
Yeah, and I find it challenging to have three people in rotation. I'm trying really hard to, but it's hard this time during this pandemic stuff.
I know it. It's just what I do, what I say I do, is ask people to flirt as friends wherever you can. You see?
Yeah. And so I've been doing, to the best of my ability, and I keep online dating app.
All right. So nature will take over, and we will be meeting and mating.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time tonight.
You're welcome.
All right, you guys have a good night. Thank you so much.
Good. You too.
Bye-bye.
So, Kelly?
Yes, we are just about out of time, Dr. Allen. We only have like a minute and a half left.
Okay.
But I did want to finish up this for this one gal, and I'm hoping maybe you can go through it kind of quick for her.
Go ahead.
Wanting to know for her dating thing, because she's duty dating. She's the one that's young and hasn't had a lot of dating experience. So she wants to know if you can just real quick go over the Peter Pan, the real man, and the monk. So she kind of has an idea of what she's looking at and what she's not looking for.
Well, these are, I'm a transactional analyst. When you communicate what you are. For example, a lady who is basically not into enjoying her body, she's either overweight or she's not doing attractive things physically,
mm-hmm.
she is going to date the monk. So the nun goes with the monk.
Right.
Peter Pan goes with Wendy.
Right. She's always having to sew his shadow back onto his heel.
Right. The claw woman is out to steal a man from a woman, married or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
She's a called woman. She's seducing the man with sex to get him to leave his wife. But the fourth couple is a lady who's virtuous and knows what to say no to, going with a man who wants to build a good family with her. So a gentleman goes with the lady. Peter Pan goes with Wendy. Sugar Daddy goes with the claw. And the nun goes with the monk.
And Wendy goes with Peter Pan. And on that, we are out of time, Dr. Allen. What do you have to say before we go?
Way out of the negative feeling, a positive decision followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Okay, everyone. Today is the 17th, and next Thursday is Christmas Eve. So we will not be with you.
But there will be.
Yes, one of our shows will replay on New Year's Eve and on Christmas Eve. And we will be back with you after that. Until then, we want to wish you all the happiest of holidays and safety, joy, love, and peace. Bye-bye.
God bless you all.
God bless you all.
Bye.
until the new year.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.